Gee, agus falchico Gian Clar come on Luke Clascale and shocked on a show. Me Tom Cormack with you as always until 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
I'm here in St. Eugene's Clubhouse in Castle Derrick tonight, and well, I have a very special man beside me, a marathon runner, athlete of great note, an All-Ireland winner with Fermanagh, and well, I suppose a stalwart of the club here, and one of the founding fathers of the club when it was reformed in the mid-70s, Pat O'Loughlin. First of all, Pat, delighted to have you on the programme.
Good to see you, Tom.
And tell me, you've done the Dublin Marathon recently.
I managed to get to the finish this year.
And how many Dublin Marathons is that?
That's 35. I missed one last year. I'd done them all up to that.
And tell me, what age are you, if you mind me asking you?
I'll be 79 on the 1st of December.
So what, 35 marathons, and that's just Dublin City Marathons?
That's right. We've done maybe 60 altogether.
And beside us here as well, we've got Laurie Donaghy from Castle Derrick here, obviously a Finn Valley athlete as well. Oh, you have a poem there as well, haven't you, that you want to tell us about?
Yes, I've a wee poem that I wrote about Pat and the late John McHugh when I went down to watch the Dublin Marathon in 1990. Marathon poem. The rustling of the bin bags, the aroma of deep heat, the atmosphere's electric on Lower Leeson Street. The bin bags keep the runners warm till they hear the starting gun. They're spacemen's angels dressed up clowns, just doing it for the fun. The runners come from far and wide, from the Derg and Spamount too. Watch out for Pat O'Loughlin and the Ironman John McHugh. Cheers are loud as the gun goes off, the bin bags all fly high. A woman's lost her glasses as a t-shirt hits her eye. Good luck to all you people as your mighty task unwinds, who do this so the charities can gain from you being kind. I travel to the halfway stage to see how things are going. Some legs are getting tired by now, but John's are really flowing. I see faces red, some deathly white, and pain yet etched with passion, trying to cool it down a bit as they grab their water ration. If a blind man from Barnardo's is willing to play his game, then why am I just standing here, overwhelmed with a sense of shame? There's men in chairs that have no legs, they sure don't want your pity. Your cheers are all they need right now as they glide to Dublin City. A familiar face goes whizzing by, he's been here many times. Keep going, Pat, and you'll be home before the 4 hour chimes. We go around to the finish to see who wins the race. I think it will be Kiernan, he's set a real good pace. Jerry, you have done it at the age of 39. It's 10 years since you've won here, and now you've hit your prime. You conquered up in Belfast, and now in Dublin too. The world, it is your oyster. Good luck in all you do. We stand in awe for an hour or two as the rest of you come home. Our spirits lift you to the line. You're not in this alone. The time is 2 hours 49. A peak blue cap appears. It's John McHugh in finest form. His youth belies his years. Pat strolls in, he's cracked it, in 3 hours 58, timed it well and broke 4 hours, he's really not so late. Congratulations to you all, especially to the ladies, who took time to train yet be a wife and mother to your babies. I know that you all felt the pain from your head right to your toes. It was worth it, I can see it, as the pride in your eyes shows.
Well done, Gloria, well done, I think. Gloria Donaghy there on the Marathon Man, and the Marathon Man is beside me here. That's Pat O'Loughlin, because I want to talk to you now, and I think we'll bring in your brother, Sean. Is it Sean that's here as well? He's wearing his Fermanagh colours. These Fermanagh men are getting very, 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 very proud of their colours at the moment.
That's right.
They're beginning to crow, aren't they? I know where Rory Gallagher down in Donegal is going to sort them out next summer. But,
that's right.
Tell me, grew up in Fermanagh, what part?
Bleak.
Bleak.
That's right, in Bleak.
And went to school in...
Went to school in the local primary school, and then... At about fourth class, I went to Ballyshannon to La Salle, and that would have been my first serious involvement with Gaelic football. We used to play during the lunch break, and got on fairly well. I was fit to catch the ball fairly well and was picked for the college team. And we played a match in Oma. Now, we'd done very well, but we were knocked out. And the Gaelic was the main thing in Ballyshannon.
Yeah.
I remember where we were.
Tell me about 59. Obviously, that was a huge year for Fermanagh. First All Ireland. I know they've won a couple of All Ireland B since, but it was a first big breakthrough for the county.
That's right. Now, the first time I played with Fermanagh, it was in Irvinestown against Donegal. I think it was the junior championship. And I was marking a footballer, I think he was named Pather McGeehan. He was a great Donegal footballer.
Yeah, now,
he
would have been, died since Jonas.
He would have been at the end of his career at that time, probably. Then we played Armagh, I think it was in the Lagan Cup in Listlasky. And we done all right, but we were beaten then. And then the next match was against Armagh Juniors in Armagh. And we got off to a bad start. They got a goal and a point up before we got going at all.
Is this 59, was it, or 57?
That's right, 59. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was the start of the run to the All-Ireland.
And a thing happened there. They had a great corner forward who I was marking, the name of Loughran, and he was a great favourite with the crowd. And they were all shouting, "Come on, Loughran," and I thought it was me, and I thought, this is great support. So I did manage to get into the game a bit better, and we managed.
And that was the first round of the Ulster in 59.
That's right.
And who did you play after that then? Sean can help if he can.
Do you remember, Sean, who the next team was?
I'm not sure. Was it Donegal in the junior?
I think we played Donegal first in the junior.
Then
Armagh, I think it was.
Yeah.
Would have played Tyrone maybe, it was in the Lagan Cup or McKenna Cup, and they were able to beat us. They had a great team at that time. And then we got to the final against Antrim, and I was not in good form against Antrim. I got a pair of these new low-cut boots, and I thought it was the bee's knees wearing these boots, but somebody hit me a kick on the ankle, on the back of the ankle, and it festered. So John O'Neill was our goalkeeper, and John was a doctor, and he was doing his year out in the Mater Hospital, and I mentioned it to him, and he said, "Come on up," he says, "and I'll soon put a stop to that." And we're chatting with the football. He says, "Here, I'll give you a jag of this," and he gave me a jag of penicillin, and of course I was allergic and I just collapsed on the spot. So
that was in his surgery, was it?
Yes, in the Mater Hospital. Yeah. When I woke up, there was a whole crowd of doctors around me, and I recovered. They gave me the antidote and I recovered all right. I was able to walk home and play the next Sunday in Dungannon against Antrim, but it wasn't.
Did you revert to the old boots, or did you? the ones you prefer for was the ones with the
light boots. The oval shirts, I think they were, with the leather studs in them.
Yeah.
I would have went back to them then.
But the old heavy ball that time too.
That's right. In that match, I was very lucky that the ball didn't come down my wing at all. It was going the other side where Hugh Flanagan was playing, and Hugh was in great form, and he caught everything. And I managed to bluff my way through that game. Now, the next game we had was a challenge match against Antrim in Casement Park. And we done very badly. And after the match, Tom Fee was county secretary. He says, Paddy O'Hara had agreed to train the Fermanagh team for the semi-final. After that performance, whether he'll agree to take you on or not, I don't
Paddy
know.
Paddy of Antrim.
That's right.
Yeah.
Paddy was a great man. Paddy, you see, would have trained the Singers and Cup that Queen's won for the first time. I think they had a draw and then they won a replay by a point. Well, in that team, you had John O'Neill, Mickey Brewster, Des O'Rourke, Eamon Flanagan, and they had great experience of playing in the Singers and Cup.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. Kevin Sreenan also played on that team. Now, Kevin was in the Free State Army, and Kevin would have been used to playing against all the stars down south.
Yeah.
And that was a great boost for them. Some of the rest of us ordinary footballers wouldn't have been all that confident. But Paddy O'Hara took us on, and it was a huge change to Fermanagh football. Paddy had all these ideas of breaking down the match into the different skills. He would have put you running around the field, lifting the ball all the time, you know. Practice lifting the ball, throwing the ball in front and lifting it. He would have put you into a group of players, and some of the other players kept throwing the football in, and you were matched with a fellow of your own height and weight, and he kept throwing that ball to you, and you had to jump and catch it and fight with the other fella. You know, he kept you at that, you know, until you were tired out. And it was something new for Fermanagh football altogether. Well, Tom Fee and Master Michael Holm were great men. And put a lot of work into Fermanagh. And we played a challenge match against Louth down south to get used to the southern teams. We didn't do that well. I think we might have got beaten that.
Because they had won a lot of Ireland a couple of years
that's
earlier.
That's right. Stephen White was playing.
Yeah.
He was a tough man. I remember one time the ball came in and the fella took a shot and I made a race over to block it. And I hit it with my hands and I hit it past John O'Neill in the goals. And John looked and stared at me and he gave me some luck. Unfortunately, that happened again in another match. And I thought, I'll not try to block it, but it went in for a goal. So our big match then was in O'Toole Park, wasn't it, John?
Yes, in Dublin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Against Dublin.
Right, yeah.
That's right. So that was, now, Paddy had us well trained for that. It was a very tough game, and I remember a fella crashing into me, and he put my tooth through my lip there. But you had to keep going. I would have had a bit of concussion near the end of it. And J.J. Tracy, J.J. But it was in a heavy collision, had to go off with a bad shoulder. And we were a goal down, and time was nearly up. And Dano Devaney got the ball, and I all shouted to him, "I need to get old, Dano." And he got soloed run on through, and he hit the ball, not all that hard of a shot, but the goalie was unsighted, and it hopped just inside the post, and that gave us a draw. Right. And then the replay was in Irvinstown. Now, I hadn't a great game in Irvinstown either, because we went down and stayed in the hotel in Irvinstown, and the bed I was sleeping in was a small, lumpy, narrow bed.
Right.
And if I had any sense, I would have went down home to my own home on the lake. But during the night, I didn't sleep well, and I had nightmares. I remember having a nightmare, and the field we were playing in, the grass was long and wet, and I'd crashed into some other fella, a Dublin fella, and he fell, and I looked over at his football boot, and the boot with big long nails in the sole of it and grass sticking through it, and I pulled him by the leg up and I dragged him. Well, says the referee, "Look at that, isn't that ridiculous?"
What, his nails in the boots?
Well, that was my nightmare dream. Yeah. That I
had. Oh, right, sorry.
It was a nightmare.
You had a bad opinion of the club, so
Well, that was, that was just. Yeah.
But you won the replay?
We won the replay fairly well in Irvinstown. It was a great crowd that day. And
what would the crowds be like at the games back then?
Oh, there would have been. Mm-hmm. It was a big crowd. A lot of Tyrone supporters were down too. They were telling me about being at that match. So that was a great celebration to win that. And then that meant we were in the final then against Kerry.
Yeah.
In Croke Park, which was a great boost for Fermanagh.
Tell me what that was like. You're probably the first Fermanagh team to play in Croke Park, were they?
Probably. That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. We played very well that time. I remember I was in great form. The first ball came in. It had happened in the Dublin match that a corner forward broke through, and I stayed where I was, and he came solo run and scored a goal. And I thought, this boy might do the same. So I started off from right corner and raced across the goal. And with that, he kicked it, and it was dropping on the edge of the square right in, just into my hands, and I caught the ball, and I can still remember, and it seemed so light and so easy to catch. After that, everything went well for me. But before half time, I was lifting the ball, bent down, and somebody jumped on my back, and I hurted my knee badly. So at half time then I said to Paddy O'Hara, "My knee's very sore," and Paddy says, "If you can stay on, try and stay on, for you're doing all right." But shortly after half time, it gave under me. You know, I ran backwards and it just doubled under me. That was the cartilage gone. And Joe Pat Prunty came on as a sub, the man who built the pitch here in Castle Derrick.
And a good many pitches around the country, isn't it?
That's right. A great man at that work, and still going well. So that was a great celebration there. Now, it was a terrible blow to me because I was very, very fit. And suddenly here I was limping, knee all swelled up. And at that time, there was no sports medicine. You went to the doctor and he says, "Oh, you have a bad knee, give up the football." And of course, that was terrible news, to give up the football. And after that, then I used to build it up a bit. And then the swelling went down. Then I'd go back to play again. Then I would have jumped up and came down. And the knee would have given up again.
You beat Kerry in that final. But that wasn't the All-Ireland. That was a home final.
That's right. So the team had to go to London. They had to play in London. And Tom Fee and Master Michael Holm were very good to me. They brought me with them, although I wasn't fit to play.
Right.
And it was a very tough match in London, but we managed to win by a few points.
A big celebration.
Home to a big celebration. It was in Enniskillen then. And that was great excitement, a great crowd. You know, that was a brilliant achievement for Fermanagh to win something like that, and especially to beat Kerry. Now, Kerry were a very sporting team. And we had green jerseys and they had green, white and gold, and they agreed to wear the Munster blue and let us wear Fermanagh jerseys in Croke Park.
As I said, your brother Sean is here as well, Sean O'Loughlin. Growing up, watching this man, I'm sure there was great pride in the Loughlin household.
Oh, there was. The whole family were very, very proud of Pat, indeed. And it's great for the family to have an All-Ireland medal.
Yeah. The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back once again here in St. Eugene's clubhouse in Castlederg. And well, we're having a special memory night with former Fermanagh player, marathon runner and club stalwart here, Pat O'Loughlin. And Pat, I suppose the first thing we want to find out is how Pat O'Loughlin from Baileach or from Devenish ended up here in Castlederg.
Well, I was working in Belfast at the time, and then I thought I would start up on my own.
What bit line of business?
Fixing watches and clocks and things like that. So Father Daly was the curate in Castlederg at the time, and he said to me, Brother Joe, there would be a possibility of starting in Castlederg. So I come up here and started at that time. Now, it wasn't long in the town until Jack Lynch came in to me. Jack, unfortunately, can't be with us tonight. And he said to me, Father Devine wants you to start a football team for the young lads. Now, Father Devine never said anything to me about it, and I think maybe the truth was that it was Jack who wanted to start the team. So,
yeah, that's probably why he's not here tonight.
Well, no, Jack is in Novena on the night for the deceased members of the family, and he just couldn't make it the night. But we might get him back another night. Jack would have a great memory for all these things.
Yeah. And what year was that?
That was 62.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, or 63, around that.
Yeah.
And we started in choir of the lads. Liam O'Donnell would have been a good help to me, and Sean Cahoon. And they said to me, if Jarlath Ramsey comes, the rest of the boys will come. Jarlath was a great player, a great soccer player, and great at basketball. And we asked Jarlath, would he join up with the juvenile team? And he joined, and the boys from Spamont and round the town here. And I think our first match was down in Orney, against Orney. And John McHugh that was mentioned there, John unfortunately died with cancer. John was a great determined lad at anything, at football or running or anything. He would have been the best marathon runner in this area. And Joe was a great footballer as well. And we done fairly well. Jack got us a set of jerseys, and we played in red. And shortly after that, John McHugh got a Comer minibus, a big green minibus, and John brought us to all the matches in the minibus. Right. And we managed to... The first night we had to go down to Sirban to enter the team. Now, some of the local boys were from Mahiarn were to bring me down to the meeting, but they hadn't turned up. But Charles Lynch came down, and I waved him down. I says, Charles, let's go down to Sirban to enter the team. Would you bring me down? So me and Charles went down and entered the team there. At that time, and started we had the use of St. Eugene's school pitch to train them, and we done very well. The lads were all very good and trained hard and played well, and they really enjoyed it, and they would still come to me with great memories of those days.
And was there no club here at that time?
No, no. There
had been a club here before, had there?
There had been teams, but that never done all that much. Ahiarn was more a centre for Gaelic football than Castlederg. Now, the team done very well, and as I said earlier, we would have won the league a few times, and we...
What age group was that?
They were under 16s.
Right.
And then we got the semi-final against Thrillick, I think it was, and we played them in Newtown Stewart. Now, the field wasn't ready at all, so at the start I was trying to gather up bits of branches to mark the 14 and 21-yard lines, and I didn't get speaking to the players because we'd lost the toss and we were playing into a strong wind and rain. Mm. And, you know, I would have told them we're going to be behind probably at half-time, not to lose the head. But one of the lads, Joe McGuire, Joe was trying his best, but he was committing a lot of fouls, and I thought Joe's going to be sent off here. And I took him off. Actually took my own player off in case he would be sent off. And Jack came down to me. He says, what's going on here? I says, Joe's committed a few fouls. He'll get sent off. And I want him for the next match. even though we hadn't won that match. And Jack says, he'll be all right, get him on again. So we got Joe on again.
He was one of your best players, wasn't
he? Was one of a great player, great, strong, young lad. And we're still behind by a couple of points coming up to the final whistle. And we got a 14-yard free in. And Joe came up to take it. And he had a great, strong shot. And there was a small lad at the... as he faced the goals on his right-hand side, and he hit a real hard rocket into the top corner of the net, and we won by a point.
Brilliant.
And that meant we got to the final, and I think we got a draw that day.
Pat, beat the first year, Pat.
Were we?
Mm-hmm. And we drew the second year and beat the replay.
Beat the replay. We just didn't
so
make it.
So the first
it.
2 years, so you got to the final the first 2 years?
My memory's not good enough, Tom, but I think it was. Maybe Pat could tell us there.
Yeah, Pat. We got to the final. Pat Lynch, yeah.
We got to the final in 66, and we were beat by a very strong Culloden side in the final. And the second year, then 67, we drew Culloden in the final and got beat by, I think it was 2 points in the replay.
Were you on that team, were you?
Well, I was there. I don't say I was maybe one of the younger boys, but I was in the panel, yeah, and trained with Pat for 4 or 5 years.
Another man here beside us is another member that worked with Pat in those early years as well, Charlie O'Donnell.
No, well, I didn't come along to. It was 1974.
Right.
The club had disbanded at that time. There was actually no private club playing at that time. And Castlederg, and I came down from Belfast, and we were debating it one night. We're on our way to a wake, or coming from a wake, up in the Anchor Bar. And Eugene was there, and Joe Gallagher, Cutie McHugh. And we just started talking about no football club in Castlederg, no Gaelic club, nothing for the young people sort of way to get involved with. Because it was a pretty bad time, those years, in the early 70s. And for people to travel, maybe... to go to other places, even Arnie and places like that where they could have played football, you know, would have been sort of risky enough, you know, the road blocks and stops and searches all over the place. So that's how we kicked it off again. We got together, Eugene, myself, and Joe Leonard came on board then. When we thought about it, we went for the expertise for Pat here. Pat and Pat O'Loughran, that is, and John McHugh, the bicycle man, as he was known.
And at the time, when you started first, Pat, it was just underage, was it?
That's right.
Yeah,
we had no senior team here, so we had to play under the name of Ernie.
Yeah.
We played under the name of Ernie until then the start of the senior team in Castlederg. Now, I think we played in different pitches around the town, Joe, did we?
Yeah, John Leonard here. You may fill us in on that. Do you...
Well, I knew Pat from the Edirne Club. I'm originally from Edirne. I always knew Pat from with Devonish team from there. And then whenever I moved down to Castlederg then, Pat was living here, and then I always knew Pat. And once we decided then, started Pat give us a full back and whatever we ever needed. We played in more different fields than enough.
Yeah.
But anything you ever asked Pat for at any time, Pat was always make sure there to help you and keep you on the right lines, because we didn't know a wild pile at the time.
Yeah.
So we didn't, but...
And another man here beside me, Eugene McLaughlin. Eugene was in at the start along with Pat as well, weren't you?
Got involved, it was 74, and we sort of went from there with Joe and Charlie, and so we got set up, but... we were talking earlier about Pat being involved in the founding of the club. I thought about it the day when I heard about this, the interview, that Pat was, you could say, he was involved in the founding of the club, but he was not. Pat was craftier than that. He appointed the chairman, our first chairman, God be good to him, as Billy McCarron. But it was Pat's idea.
Mm.
And then they went through from that.
So much about democracy.
We went through the whole thing, and there was a manager, and there was everything was arranged. But at the end of the night, Pat O'Loughlin had nothing to do.
That's a very sound of a very good leader.
But it is. That's when I thought about him today. That's what Pat did, you know, and as I say, you know, he said at that particular time they went to name the club.
Yeah, where did that come? Where did the name St. Eugene's come from?
Sure, I was all thrilled about that. I thought Pat was wanting to call the club after me. But it wasn't. It was, you know, that St. Eugene was the bishop in Ardstraw and in this area. So I was disappointed to find that out, because later we had a church built here named St. Eugene's.
Yeah. So it's not called after you at all.
So Pat pulled another one on me. You know, but... Yeah.
I think the reason
that... We're coming to the inn now, but I couldn't come to Castle Derrick without speaking to John Lynch, because he's the man that prompted me to come up here, invited me up, and because I know he's a great admirer of Pat O'Loughlin. Talk to me, what does Pat O'Loughlin mean to you, John Lynch?
Well, again, Tom, thanks again for coming up to do this for Pat. As I said to you about it before, you know, around the town here for years, people would recognise Pat as an athlete, as a runner, or a marathon runner, but... I would have had experience of Pat when I was on the 14 team we had in the club. Pat would have been my coach at that time, along with Eugene and John McCorry and Buzzigat. So, and I do remember stuff that Pat would have done that time. He would have coached us, you know, as opposed to just throwing a ball at us and going for a run. Pat would actually be out there coaching us how to kick and stuff. So he was a man before his time when it came to football. But as time moved on, Pat, you know, he did bring a lot of people around the club and helped to transform the club to what we are now. So... We're totally indebted to him, and as you know yourself, as you see yourself talking to him, the man is a legend when it comes to it. He really is a man that does deserve a lot of the credit that he gets.
We'll just go back and have a quick word. We'll have a quick word with Pat before we wrap up, but I know I want to go back to his brother Sean for a moment, because he has told me he has a special request he wants to play, because he knows there's somebody listening to us tonight from the UK.
Yeah, I want to say hello to Charlie and Jane Moore, who live in Blurton in Stoke-on-Trent. And Charlie's from Baleek originally, and his wife Jane from Ballyshannon.
Right.
And we always keep in touch.
So, and they listen to Highland Radio?
They listen to Highland Radio all the time.
Great. Pat, before we wrap up, obviously great memories and maybe moved on a bit from football now, but when you come here now tonight and you come down on a Sunday and you see there's matches on and everything, and you see the clubhouse here and you see the facilities, do you get a sense of pride that you played some part in it, or a big part in it?
Yeah, we have great facilities here. The boys in the club now at present deserve great credit. They have lovely dressing rooms, they have a great pitch, and recently they have built the second pitch, training pitch. And have the ladies, we can't forget the ladies football team. They're doing very, very good. The lads are at the top of the league here this year, and they're progressing every year. And hopefully they'll go on to greater things.
Yeah. And enjoyed chatting to you, and delighted that you could come here and talk to us. And you're back in training for next year for Dublin.
Don't know. Not yet. When you're 79, you naturally get stiff. And I'd have to wait till next year and start doing a wee bit of training and see how the old joints and knees and hips get on.
Hopefully Pat will make it to Dublin next year for his 36th Dublin Marathon. Certainly a great story, a real gentleman, and a very accomplished footballer, obviously winning that All-Ireland with Fermanagh in 1959, and some great yarns there. And my thanks to Pat O'Loughlin, to his brother Sean, to Charlie O'Donnell, to Eugene McLaughlin, to Joe Leonard, and to John Lynch, and everybody who gave me a warm welcome up there last week when I went up to record that piece with Pat O'Loughlin. Certainly enjoyed it, and just if for those of you maybe who came in late or just hearing the last couple of minutes of it, if you want to listen back to the Pat O'Loughlin story, you can do so. Our GA programme now is available online on www.highlandradio.com from tomorrow morning, and it's also available on the Highland Radio app if you want to listen back as well. Certainly a great story indeed there, and a true gentleman and an amazing man. What, over 60 marathons, and just missed one Dublin marathon, and that was the year before last, but ran a very good marathon again this year. So that's about it. Just before I go, I just want to tell you about Rory Kavanagh. He's winning his autobiography. Rory is signing copies of that book in Carndonagh, Easons in Carndonagh, on Saturday next. From me, Tom Comeck, from Jimmy Stafford, and from Pat O'Loughlin, and all at St. Eugene's in Castle Derrick, Slánagas, Bannockfagy, and Seachtain, Seahugin.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online. This is Highland Radio.